Well, if you'd open your Bibles with me to 3 John. Did you guys realize there was that many Johns in the Bible? Yeah, some of you are like, oh, there is? So my Bible is about 30 years old, and it's starting to fall apart here, so I can actually pull this out of my Bible to read it. So we're going to go, if you stand with me, we're going to go to 3 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Dear friend, who are faithful in what we are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in the manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that they may work together for the truth. Amen. So I know you guys have heard me a few times before, and usually I like to tell you a funny story. Two reasons for that. One is it helps me not be so nervous because I'm good at storytelling. And number two is I like to try to make a connection with you guys. And I think if I can get you laughing, one, you'll be awake, and two, you might actually trust what I'm saying. So this is a funny story. Did I tell a story last time about my grandparents going to the wrong house on Thanksgiving? Yeah. Same grandparents here. Same day. So in my infinite wisdom, Grandma and Grandpa are getting ready to leave. If you don't remember, Grandma's quite older, in her mid-80s, very hard walking, needs a lot of help. And so I'm like, I know the right thing to do. I've got to go help Grandma to the truck. Okay, Grandpa still drives a big half-ton Chevy, and Grandma can barely move. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm going to help Grandma get in the truck. So I slowly walk her out to the truck. We open the door, and then I'm going, man, I don't know how to do this. Like, how do you... Grandma in the truck, right? And so I'm standing there and I'm like, okay, Grandma, what do we do? And she turns around and she goes like this. Well, when my grandkids do that, I get in a squat motion and I pick them up, and right? Okay, Grandma, if that's how we're going to do it. So I kind of get in the squat motion. I'm getting ready to pick her up, and I'm like, God, this just doesn't feel right. Like, I don't think I should chuck Grandma in the truck like this. And I look at my grandpa, and I'm like, how does this work? And he's like, looks like she's going to put her arms around your neck. What? She's going to be holding onto my neck, and I shove her in the truck. I'm like, this isn't going to work. Okay, whatever. So I get down. I'm getting ready to lift Grandma up. She's going to grab my neck, and somehow we're going to shove her in the truck. Come to find out, Grandma was turning around to give me a hug. She was. This would have been a very good surprise to her if I had actually picked her up and thrown her in the truck. Yeah, she's like, Randy, I'm just trying to give you a hug. I'm like, oh my goodness, Grandma, we almost had a disaster. And I told her what my intentions were, and my grandma started laughing so hard, and her and I are just sitting there crying with tears of like, how funny that would have been lifting an 87-year-old lady up, because she would have been quite surprised. The reason I tell this story, most of the time they don't have anything to do with what I'm talking about. I just like to be funny, but I think it's a good reminder for us that this was an intellectual decision of mine. I'm a Christian. My duty is to help my grandma. And in my infinite wisdom, I almost made it a disaster, but I love to see the ending of it, because what I tried to do in good faith, which probably wasn't the right thing to do, at least chucking Grandma, ended in being one of the greatest stories that she talks about all the time. I saw her a couple of weeks later after that, and she was laughing so hard she fell over on the couch. And then she came here a few weeks ago to Trevor's graduation party, and as I was helping her out of the car, she's like, please don't help me back in, right? Like, and I love how God... I was just being faithful and kind of ignorant, but God turned it into an amazing story. And so a little of that, I'd like you to just challenge yourself to go, is there just some things in my life that I can do in faith that maybe I don't know the perfect solution to, or I don't know exactly how to do it, but that I can trust that in the end, God's going to work that out for good and in his glory. And I feel like he did in this scenario. So that's something to kind of ponder on in the back of your mind. Does anybody remember what I preached on last time? Where's Owen? Owen, were you here when I preached last time? You seem to have all the answers. Do you remember what verse or what I talked about? Oh, man. We talked about Romans 12:2, do not be conformed, but be transformed, which I think we can tie into this series as well. And we talked a lot about not conforming and not so much about the transformation part. And I think we need to take some steps into looking into our transformation. There's a lot of different things we could talk about, but obviously this being more prioritized towards missionaries and having Renee talk, and we have the faith promise coming up. By the way, Renee, Pastor Terry, you guys stole my whole entire sermon, but that's okay. I'll just piggyback off that. I'm just kidding. I appreciate you guys very much. So as we go forward, I want you to think about a few things. There's a great quote that says, there are three versions of ourselves. The ones we think we are, the ones other people think we are, and then the one that God knows we are. This was a challenge for me because I know of who I think I am. I know what my family and friends think about me, but I'm not 100% sure on how God really feels about me. I mean, I know how he feels about me, but I probably don't understand that completely. So I want to tie this into a little bit of what Terry was saying. Like, we just went through 7 weeks of the gospel, which was very challenging for me, and I hope a few of you guys got some stuff out of it. I know that we kind of hit on the point of not just completely focusing it down to only salvation, but that there was more to it. That, you know, that we're anchored in the cross and that it's about relationship. And the last part, we talked a lot about there's a transformation that comes with that. And so we want to kind of hit on a few of those things, tying into what we're going to talk about today in supporting missionaries. So one of the verses in James 1:23 and 25 is we really want to examine ourselves. And I think that's where the last part of Terry's sermon really went to, is just understanding that we are growing in our relationship with Christ. And for me, the challenge has been, even talking to you guys last week before offering, like, it's very easy to hit a button or even sometimes write a check and drop it in and not be intentional about it. And so we really need to question ourselves on our intentionality of following Christ and being mindful of what we're doing and not just put things on automatic or not just going through the motions in our faith. James 1, 23 and 25, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is it's like someone who looks at a face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And I do this a lot because my wife will be like, there's something on your nose. I'll be like, oh, right? How many times do I have my protein shake and there's like a big chunk of something right there? And it's probably there this morning. Anyways, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So the challenge today as we talk is going to be, are we being intentional about what we're doing? Because I know as a Christian for myself, I can fall into that repetitive, get up on Sunday, go to church, you know, write the check, blah, blah, blah. But am I praying through that with God? Even Terry was like, pray, ask God what you want, what he wants you to do. Like, Terry could come up here and be like, I need everybody to give $50 a month. That's not in the spirit. That's the pastor just giving us a command that we do and probably falls under legalism. But if we go to the Spirit and go, God, what is it that you are? Is there a challenge in my life? Am I tied to my money too tightly? Am I not believing in you in faith? Am I fearful of things? Talking about examining ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. I believe Terry talked about that last Sunday as well. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's anything offensive in me and lead me in a way of everlasting. So I don't have time to probably discuss all the things we need to be working on, but what I would like to talk about is missionaries and how we can be intentional in our support from them. We're obviously part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, which if you guys don't know, we support a lot of missionaries. It's kind of a big deal to us. And it was founded on the principle of supporting. I think it was an alliance of churches that wanted to support missionaries, if I remember correctly. So we need to challenge ourselves and just check and see, maybe have we missed the mark? Like, if I remember correctly, the definition of sin is an archery term, right? It just means that you didn't hit that perfect bullseye. And so I think for me, I know in my support of missionaries and monetary giving and prayer life with them, I have definitely missed the mark. I have felt good about giving and left it at that. I just opened the checkbook out of my excess and wrote a check going, oh, I'm a good person. I am giving to missionaries. And I'm thinking, man, now after studying this, I'm like, ooh, I missed the mark quite a bit. So let's talk about a few ways that we can support these guys. Obviously, financial is a big way. And understanding missionaries and their financial support, I can tell you from the people I've talked to and being on the mission field a little bit, the best way financially is those monthly gifts. Because these guys have to set budgets. I know the Great Commission Fund will support, but there's other missionaries that actually raise their own money. They have to set up their budgets. And the one-time gifts I know for them are great, but it doesn't give them that longevity to go, okay, am I going to be funded for the next year to 5 years? And so as you're praying through that on your giving, it's like really think about that challenge of like a monthly support for these guys so that they can just be at peace and know that they have what they need for the long term. What's another great thing you can do is you can volunteer your skills for them. If you have some specific skills, I know if these missionaries are in a organization, probably most of those things, you know, the booking tickets and their website design and all the things they do is probably supported for them. But we have a lot of missionaries that may not be tied to big organizations that you're supporting that you could actually help with some of the gifts and talents that you have. You have social media management, language translation, a lot of administrative work. I know that's something that Christy and I might be getting involved in at some point in our missionary duties, but is there a talent that maybe you have that you could use outside of the financial support that you could offer up to them and give them a little bit more support on a tangible basis? I think a big one too is emotional support. Missionaries face a lot of challenges beyond the financial. I tell you, sometimes being out on the field, you can kind of feel isolated or not supported, or obviously you're doing God's work and you have the enemy coming around just planting those seeds of doubt and fear sometimes. And so if you could get intentionally involved with these guys, you would be able to, you know, write them letters, stay in communication, get their emails about their updates, respond to those emails, and really get involved with what they're doing, which then will also give you something to pray about when you're thinking about them. So the emotional support is very big for these guys in order to just maintain their spiritual level out on the mission field, because it is a challenge, especially if you're going to places like Africa or Asia, Middle East. I can only imagine that the cultural oppression sometimes, the spiritual oppression could be quite hard, and that they could use the encouragement as the body. And I think one of the best things that you can do for people, and this is something that I really miss the mark on, and that's praying for them. Like, how intentional are we about praying for the missionaries? We support a few, and boy, I don't really honestly think that much until I have to write the check or I see a letter come across and I read it and I'm like, oh, that's great. They're doing some good things. And that's the end of my story with them. So reading through this, I'm reading a book by Leonard Ravenhill, and it's called Why Revival Tarries, and he talks a lot about prayer. I'm going to quote a few things from his book. It says, no man is greater than his prayer life. The church who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. Poverty stricken as the church is today in many things, she is most stricken here in the place of prayer. The two prerequisites to successful Christian living are vision and passion, both of which are born in a maintenance of prayer. See, what good is our work without the prayer and understanding of what God is having us do? I think we could probably fall into that legalism clause where we're just giving without praying, when we're just serving without understanding what God is calling us to do. And I think those are good things. You hear the story about grandma. I wanted to do the right thing. God used it for good. And I think we do need to step out in faith and just do things. But I think they need to be covered in prayer so that we can be guided by the Spirit and be fruitful in the things we do. So one of my challenges to you is to be praying for the missionaries, to be earnest in understanding what they're doing and then hearing God's voice and what you're supposed to be praying for them. And you might be putting it on your heart that they need something that you could be given. Ravenhill also said the prayer meeting is dead or dying. By our attitudes to prayer, we tell God that we have begun in the Spirit, we can finish in the flesh. And that sold me on it. And I think about that because I think about my own life and what God has changed in my life in the Spirit. But yet, my intellectual mind takes over and says, I can do this in the flesh. If you saw my checkbook, you would see a lot of fleshly giving, honestly. It really is. It's out of compulsion. It's out of guilt sometimes. It's out of pride. Like, oh, I can do this. I'm doing the right thing. And very, very rarely for me is it covered in prayer. I can tell you personally that there's many times that I have done mission trips out of this church in the past where I felt like I was doing it alone. The pastor would call us up and pray for us as we leave. And then it was quiet. There was very few people involved. It almost felt like it was my trip and I'm just doing it on my own. Until recently, or over the last few years, I can tell you some great people. I mean, we got Lori, who writes us what we call, not love notes, what do we call those? Love drops, yeah. Thanks for the love notes. No, love drops, which have Bible verses and encouragement on it, which gives her an opportunity to get you guys involved to be connected with the mission field. Paul, when he got on board, that guy would not let me leave without praying. He would be all over us. He would make sure we're up here praying. He would make sure we had our finances. He would always ask me, do you have enough to go? And then you got Chris, who last year, by the way, started a prayer chain for us. And out of 15 years of missions work, it was by far the most Spirit-led and Spirit-filled mission trip I've ever been on. And it was the first time, one, I probably should have been doing it myself, but Chris took the lead on that, opened us up to prayer through the church, always in communication with me on what needs we had, what we were going through. And for that connection for me, I felt like I was actually being sent by the church, that you guys were a part of what we were doing, and it wasn't just me on my own. So those are some tangible things that have been very helpful. And also, you know, I just have to admit, like some of my worst trips, I used to blame it on the people that went. I was like, man, that was a whole trip of alpha males, and that was horrible. And I'm like, I'll never take a bunch of alpha males because all they want to do is their own thing. And then if I look back on it, it was one of the first trips I actually led up, and I realized it was not covered in prayer. As we get ready to close here, I got a few more things here. So in Colossians 4, 2 and 3, it writes, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 1, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. So as I'm getting ready to wrap up, and we talked a little bit about how we can help you, if you see it in the faith promise, it's the same thing. It's give, how can you serve, how can you be praying for those guys? My challenge to you is kind of going to be the same as I did with the offering the other day. I challenge you to be intentional of your prayer life when supporting the missionaries. And this can tie into everything else, but we're going to focus on them because that's what we're talking about today. Are you intentionally praying for God's will in their life? Are you intentionally praying that, God, how is it that I can best serve these people? How is it that, what is it, like Terry was saying, what are you putting on my heart to give? I can tell you, for the longest time when it comes to giving, my wife and I, we started at one point, and we made a commitment to keep giving more every year. And I'd say about 3 or 4 years ago, we stopped doing that. And by we, it's me, because I control the budget. And you want to know why I stopped doing it? Because I finally got to a point where it was uncomfortable. I'm like, Lord, I don't think I can do that. Like, I just bought a new truck, and, you know, we would really like to go on this vacation. Reading through this, I'm like, you know what, Lord? I need to pray about this. I need to understand, what is it that I'm being a good steward of your money, or I want to be a good steward of money. How can I do that for you? Is the challenge to give more, Lord? Maybe it's not. I don't know. We're going to pray through that. But I challenge you guys, take some time, examine your hearts, listen to God, intentionally pray about what you're doing, intentionally pray about your support for the missionaries, and check yourself. Have you started living in the flesh when things were created and started by the Spirit? Have you turned into a Randy who gets to a certain point and goes, I had faith up until this point, Lord, but now I'm getting a little fearful, and I feel like I'm not going to have enough, or maybe I'm just lacking in my prayer life. Don't be like me. Be like Paul. Be like other great men. Maybe you never give. Maybe you fall into that category. I was there as a new Christian. I'd never given before. But I'm also kind of naive, and I read the Bible, and it's like, oh, you need to tithe. Okay, sounds good. I'm going to start doing it. I think we spoke a little bit about that last time. But as that relationship grows, I feel like God keeps challenging me to be a little bit stretched in my faith, stretched in my finances, stretched in my prayer life, stretched in serving, right? If you guys remember, I said I'd never go on a mission trip in my entire life when I got saved. I'm like, nope, never going to do it. Obviously, God changed my mind on that. I just want to challenge you guys. Are you being intentional? Is God being a part of that decision you're making? Or are you just going through the motions like I have? Are you being intentional about all the works that you're doing through Christ? Are you building that relationship with God? Like Terry said, the gospel is like that relationship of God, which is going to be transforming our lives to be more like Him. And some of that is going to be stepping out in faith. Some of that is going to be listening to what He's calling you to do. And some of it might be just kind of goofy stuff like me, like throwing grandma in the truck and watching God do a good thing on it. I'll leave you with this verse in Romans 15, 30 through 32. And it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggles by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contributions I take to Jerusalem may be favorable, received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you that you don't like to just let us be, that there's always a challenge, a strengthening, a growing, a stretching. And Father, I pray your Spirit upon us today. God, that we be known as a church that is giving and loving and supporting and serving of those who are willing to step out on the field, who are willing to leave everything behind to serve you. Lord, may we be intentional and prayerful for all of them. And God, may you just be glorified in what we do. And take our goofy things and turn them into good. Take our faithful things and multiply them. Lord, we just love you today. We thank you that you continue to work in us. In Jesus' name.